This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Are you finally starting to understand, Chicago? Best in the world this, best in the world that. I don't care if you have hometown heroes. I don't care where you came from. No one is on my level. Absolutely no one. I've proven it day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, and it doesn't matter where I go. But one thing's for sure, when it comes to this AEW belt, the only people that would ever have a chance to beat me, ever, are either not here, they're already tired, or they are already dead.
You know it's all about that life.
That's a recall, baby. Born ovation. Greatest talents in the entire world is wearing the right colors. And this is a shocker.
I think he said, you remember what you did to me.
Oh, no! Cole just took out Jungle Boy.
Why would he kick Jungle
Boy? Oh. I don't believe what I'm seeing.
There are your answers, Tony. This is astonishing. What a turn of events.
In the words of the almighty Steve Urkel, did I do that? You really believed me, didn't you? You really thought I was scared? This guy's one of our best friends. Tell him, Adam.
Who's ready for story time with Adam Cole, baby? Boys and girls, it's official. The Elite is the most dominant faction in the history of this business. And ain't no chance in hell anyone's gonna stop us.
Now that's what I call a happy ending. So really, the only thing I've got left to do is what I do best, and that's send the crowd home happy. So without any further ado, I must bid you goodbye and good night.
Man, business is picked up in AEW.
And Omega flees.
Here we go. It's a pure sixer. Bryan Danielson is sizing up Nick Jackson. Oh my God. What a shot. What a shot by Bryan Danielson. First out of pole now. Bryan Danielson. God, fellas, what a night.
Yeah, just when the Elite and Adam Cole thought they were running everything, right? And listen to the chant now.
The home of professional wrestling is All Elite Wrestling.
God, is that part of the party?
The revolution is televised. Join the Dark Order.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
You're listening to Music of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich. This is episode 117, and it's not going to be a normal episode or a long one either. This will be all about my trip to All Out, AEW All Out. I went this past weekend, had a hell of a time, an amazing experience. My voice is a little sore. I'm a bit tired as well, but it was just 100% worth it because the show was amazing. One of the best nights of my life, really, to be honest with you. So, yeah, this will be not a normal episode. The normal episodes will resume on 218. I just want to put this out here to keep the schedule on track and to just, you know, give you guys my thoughts on the trip. It's similar, actually, to the episode I did a few years ago about my trip to New York for Mania Weekend. The difference, though, is that this trip was a lot less hectic, a lot less chaotic than New York was. Because New York, there was like 70 shows going on. I was hopping on this train and that train and just going to and fro. It was pretty wild. This trip, though, was a lot less crazy. I just had the one show to go to. I did not go to GCW or Rampage or whatever. It was just All Out. So it was still eventful, don't get me wrong, but it was a lot more relaxing too, which I liked. So, it started on Friday. I went to Chicago on Friday. It's funny, I mentioned it wasn't as crazy. There was some craziness beforehand because I noticed that the back of my phone was starting to come off. And I did some research, and apparently that's a sign that the battery in your phone is beginning to swell, which is a big uh-oh, especially before a trip. So I went to the tech repair place, they got a new battery in, it was all set. So I was panicking a bit, I won't lie, but it all turned out to be okay in time for the trip. So yeah, Friday I flew out to Chicago, got there okay, safely, no problems there. I went to the Airbnb, checked in, and you know, I thought about going to Rampage. I mulled that over before the trip, but honestly, I was a bit too tired from the trip, so I did not go to Rampage. Instead, I went to dinner with Jack Beckman from VOW. We went to this place called the Bavarian Lodge, which is a German restaurant. I've never had German food before, and I guess I still haven't because I got a burger instead, so I kind of chickened out in that respect. But Jack got this thing called, I think it's called the Braumeister's Platter. It's like this huge plate of just sausages and pork chops and pork loins and potatoes and corn. It was a big, tall order, and he was hungry. But even he was like, I don't know, man, this might be a little too much for me. But he got through it okay. Yeah, that was Friday. Saturday, again, a pretty easy day. I went to check out downtown Naperville, which is where I stayed. And then at night, I met up with a whole bunch of people from VOW for dinner. Rich Craich was there, his wife Michelle, the nurse, was there too, Tyler Furness, Chris Samsa and his wife Megan, Steve Case and his wife Elise, who is very pregnant, by the way. She is ready to pop very soon, so congrats on the soon-to-be new baby, guys. Congrats. And Jack was there too, of course. So yeah, it was just a lot of fun just shooting the shit for a few hours at dinner. And that was Saturday. Again, it was a very easy trip for the most part. The only real big events for me were on Sunday. So Sunday was all-out day. And beforehand, there was a big barbecue at Chris and Megan's house. People who were at the dinner the night before were there, of course, but also Paul Volsch, Mike Spears, Case Lowe, Jeremy Sexton, Alex Wendland, Abraham Delgado, Jerry Evagood. Like, it was a whole big group of VOW people, and we just ate so much food that Chris and Megan prepared. I mean, Chris is just a wunderkind on the grill. We were just scarfing down meats left and right. It was so delicious, and just so much fun to hang out and to just chat about life and wrestling and the world and joke and smile and just be together. Because, you know, for the most part, we only interact online. I mean, we're all in just different parts of the country, different parts of the world. You know, I'm in Boston. Paul is from Germany. Abraham's from Puerto Rico. You have Jerry from Virginia. You had, you know, people from Chicago area, from Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota. Sud Williams, who wasn't at the party, but he came to Chicago. He's from Louisiana. Like, all these people from around the world just coming together because of pro wrestling, because of Voices of Wrestling, and because of free food as well. So it was such a great time and a great moment for all of us to be there together. So that was the barbecue before All Out. And then we had All Out. We all drove down to the Hoffman Estates area at the Now Arena for the show. And I was not part of the VOW suite that others were. So I had to go through the normal entrance for the plebs. And boy, oh boy, was that line massive. There were just a lot of people in line. And there was like one entrance for those people, so it was a long time to walk to the end of the line. But it moved quickly, I will say that. It did not take forever to get into the building, thankfully. So I went in, I got my seat, and I sat in one of the upper levels, kind of diagonal from the ring. And I was a little bit nervous beforehand about my view, what it was going to look like, but I could see everything just fine. It was a great seat, no problems there at all. And then the show started. With the pre-show and then the main show. And I'm not going to go into super great detail about the show. If you've seen it, you probably know the details anyway. if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It was an amazing show. But yeah, I'll break it down into like three sections. The first section is just being there, being in that crowd, being in that atmosphere. It was electric. I mean, I had not been to a wrestling show live in 2 years. Last one I went to was the New Japan show in Lowell for Fighting Spirit Unleashed. And that was a great show, but the atmosphere in this one just blew it out of the water because the crowd was so hot. They were so jazzed up for the show, and they were so jazzed up for the wrestlers. I mean, we know watching on TV that a lot of guys in AEW are over with the fans, but being there live just reinforces that notion so much. I mean, there were so many big reactions for Moxley and Eddie Kingston, Britt Baker, the Lucha Brothers, Jurassic Express, Best Friends, you know, Darby, Kenny, Statlander, Thunder Rosa. I mean, not to mention CM fucking Punk. I mean, the list goes on and on. Kojima, Ruby Soho, Minoru fucking Suzuki was there and the crowd went apeshit. I mean, this is a company that is hot and the fans care about these wrestlers. Why? Because they're fun, likable, interesting characters to root for. It's not that hard. You know, other companies need to pump in audio to get the reactions on screen. Not this one. This is a hot company with fans who love and cheer or boo the wrestlers to their heart's content. It was so great to be in there in that building with that energy and that crowd. Number two, of course, is the music. Got to mention the music. And it was just so cool to hear these themes live for the first time. And that in and of itself, that experience, did so much to pump me up as much as the wrestlers or matches did. Like, hearing Kenny's theme live for the first time was incredible. Hearing Darby's theme live for the first time was incredible. Same with Kojima's theme. Same with, you know, Eddie Kingston's theme. Hearing these themes, you know, in person is, again, it's different than just hearing them on your own in your house or whatever, or on TV. Like, it's just a different experience live. And as well, there's the sing-along aspect to it too, of course. I mean, it was just so much fun singing along to Tarzan Boy and Cult of Personality and Ruby Soho and my god, Kaze ni Nare. I mean, when Minoru Suzuki, when that music hit and the wind started blowing and the king showed up on the screen, I freaked the fuck out. I stood up. Yeah, he's here, he's here. And they played this song and I was like, this crowd will chant Kaze ni Nare. I guarantee it. I guarantee they're going to do it. And sure enough, they chanted it, Kaze ni Nare. And after over a year of clap crowds not being able to chant along to that song, it was like this cathartic release inside of me. Just like, finally, we could say it. Finally. Oh my God. But yeah, that was just amazing. Amazing experience live.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7 so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
And I have to mention this too, the live performances. Mikey Ruckus did a live performance with a rapper named Muelas de Gallo. They did a performance of the Lucha Bros theme for their entrance, and it was awesome. It sounded great in the building, on point. The Lucha Bros came out with their headdresses on and the varsity jackets. Like, it was such a cool entrance, and it was just so awesome to see Mikey get that moment and that experience live in front of the fans. Great entrance. I'll remember it forever. The Judas entrance for Jericho, wasn't quite on the same level. I get the idea behind it, the guitar doing the thing. I get that. The crowd sang along to Judas. We got a little mixed up halfway through. I think the guitar player mixed us up, but we got there in the end. So it wasn't as smooth as the Lucha Bros entrance was, but hey, what can you do? Thirdly, and lastly, is, of course, the show itself. My thoughts on the actual show, the actual matches and whatnot. And I said before, this was a fantastic show, and I meant it. Like, I think every match on this show delivered in some way. Even, like, Paul White, QT Marshall was just 3 minutes in and out. No problems there whatsoever. It was fine. Match of the night, though, clearly, was Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks in the cage. Not just match of the night, maybe my match of the year, and definitely the best match I've seen live in person. I mean, this was incredible. I mean, these guys were flying around, they were doing big spots, there was blood, there was emotion, there was so much drama in this match. I mean, the point where they hit Penta with the thumbtack shoe, and he is just gushing blood, and then they hit him with the BTE trigger, and Phoenix is down, and they cover him. I am, like, literally saying out loud, no, not again. They're going to win again, these bastard Young Bucks. No! And then Phoenix, at the last second, breaks up the pin. The building just exploded. Like, bolts of lightning went through me and everyone else there. And we were just screaming, yeah, come on! Let's go, come on! We were just so much more invested in a Lucha Bros win at that point. And at the end, when Phoenix glided off the top with that crossbody, they hit the pile driver on Nick, 1, 2, 3. I literally jumped out of my seat, stuck my arms over my head, and just screamed like a maniac, "They did it! Yeah, baby, they won! They did it! Woohoo!" It was like nothing I'd ever done before at a wrestling show. I was so, so happy, and so was everyone else. That building was rocking and rolling. And the aftermath, with Penta and Phoenix in the ring, finally, with the tag belts in hand, oh my god, I had chills. I mean, they're hugging, and, you know, Penta is staining the belt with his blood because he held it to his face. And then afterwards, he goes to his children and hugs them all bloody. It was kind of funny, but again, it was very emotional and very cathartic to see these two guys, the Lucha Bros, finally win the tag belts in AEW. Oh my god, I'm buzzing right now. So yeah, that was the match of the night for me, and I think for everybody else too. But like I said, I mean, up and down, this was a great show. I mean, the openers with Miro Eddie and Moxie Kojima, two hard-hitting beef slappers. You can never go wrong with that. Britt Statlander, another really good match. I think maybe barring the Thunder Rosa Lights Out match, it's the best Britt Baker match in AEW to date. And also maybe the best Statlander match to date too in this company. But yeah, also really good. Casino Battle Royale flew by pretty quickly. Ruby Soho made her debut, got a great reaction live, especially with the music, Ruby Soho by Rancid, which, I mean, that is the most obvious choice in the world, right? I mean, Ruby Soho not having that song as her theme would be like a wrestler named Eleanor Rigby not having Eleanor Rigby as her theme. Like, it's a no-brainer. So they got the song. It worked out great. A great first night for Ruby Soho in the company. And her hugging Bryce at the end after she won was a really nice moment, too, for sure. Jericho MJF, pretty decent for the most part, but once they got to the dusty finish with Jericho's foot on the ropes, that's when the crowd became unglued, and it took things up a notch for sure. So whatever your thoughts are on dusty finishes, in this case, it worked. Trust me, I was there, it worked. CM Punk, Darby Allin, CM Punk's first match back in 7 years, I was there for it, and my expectations were for Punk to just not suck, just have a good, solid performance, not match of the year level, I didn't need that, but just be good in the ring, and damn it, he was good. I mean, you could tell early on there was some rust, he was getting his feet wet, it was a slow start, but once it all clicked together, it got really good, and the end with him just sitting up to avoid the coffin drop and laughing, like, that was mwah, perfecto, I loved it. Punk wins, Darby just sold his ass off the whole way through. Great job out of Darby here. Sting comes out for the handshakes. Tremendous moment, no doubt, no doubt. Tall Paul, QT, I brought that up earlier. Squash match, in and out, no problem there. Then finally, the main event, Kenny versus Christian. Crowd at this point, pretty tired, pretty worn out, but watching back, the match itself was really good. And I give just major props to Christian for taking some big bumps in this match. He took a beating here. Not just the spear through the table, but the ending with the avalanched one-winged angel, where when Kenny rose up onto his feet, the entire crowd rose up with him and just gasped when he hit the move. Nuts to see live. So major props to Christian there for sure. And then we had what came afterwards with the debut of Adam Cole in AEW. Roof flew off. I mean, the pop this guy got was insane. He comes out, Adam Cole, baby! And at that point, you know, I was 95% sure that Bryan Danielson was going to show up. But when Cole superkicked Jungle Boy and rejoined the Elite, I was at 100%. Like, Bryan has to come out here and save the day now. And sure enough, Kenny does the goodbye, mwah, and good not. Once again, the roof flies off, because here comes Bryan fucking Danielson. Crowd is going apeshit, like back-to-back Cole and Bryan. This is an insane ending. He comes in, clears house, Luchasaurus spin kicks Doc Gallows off the apron. Bryan does the running knee to Nick Jackson. Heroes stand tall, bad guys run away, the show ends, and it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And afterwards, Brian cuts a promo to the fans, saying that he's in AEW because of the fans, because of people like Chris Jericho and Jon Moxley and Jurassic Express, who were there in AEW since day one, building the foundation, and also because he's a wrestler, and he's here to goddamn wrestle. And he ends it with, AEW, let's fucking go! And that was All Out. Now, as far as the new themes go for Cole and Brian, Cole's theme sounds very much like an Adam Cole theme, that's for sure. Brian's theme, it was a little hard to hear in the building because of the crowd noise. I could make out the beginning and the hip-hop beat, but when I heard it on its own later that night, it did kind of grow on me. Like, it has the Flight of the Valkyries in there. It has the, you're gonna get your fucking head kicked in chant in there. And the vocals, they are very, like, NXT video packagey, but they did seem pretty catchy to me, I can't lie. So, I know it's gonna be a very divisive song. It's not Final Countdown, I know that, but to me, it's pretty catchy, so sue me, I guess. But yeah, that was All Out. The best wrestling show I've ever been to. One of the best nights of my life, period. And the fact that I was there with so many great friends from VOW made it just that much better. And I can't wait to do it again someday. So that's going to do it for this episode of Music of the Mat. Thank you so much for listening. Music of the Mat is, of course, part of the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. You can find all the great podcasts on there at voicesofwrestling.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Music of the Mat. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich. If you want to discuss this episode or other topics, you can do so at the VOW Discord. That's voicesofwrestling.com/discord. If you want to donate to the show, you can do that. Just go to voicesofwrestling.com/donate and click the big donate button beneath the name Music of the Mat. If you donate, hey, thanks so much. You're awesome. And of course, rate, review, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other places. I'm Andrew Rich. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next time with a normal episode on Music of the Mat. Take care, guys.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.